Welcome to the Jody Seeley Show podcast.
We're continuing our pride conversation so we can learn to be better allies. And I'm so excited that we have Drake joining us. Drake is a recording artist in Canada and all around fantabuloso man. How's that?
No, I that word. Drake. I'll quote that.
Yeah. I don't know how you spell it, but good luck. Take it.
Fantabuloso. Fantabuloso.
Yeah.
Fantabuloso.
Fun to say. We got this.
I like it.
Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I was going to actually send you a message because I kind of wanted to come on with you, but then you said you were going to have me on. But then I realized you had Patrick on, and having us on back to back, like within the first, wouldn't be a good thing because we're very similar. We even tend to dress alike sometimes. So I, you know, the last, but he interviewed me for OTV, and
yes,
we both dressed the same way.
Did you? Oh my God.
We did. The exact same outfit, exact same, like I'm always in some type of denim. He had the same like black shirt on, denim jacket, same glasses. And other than the hats, everything was the same. And people kept saying, was this planned? No.
Hey, that's all right. It's all right. I appreciate it. So how long have you been doing music? Has this been a whole lifetime thing for you?
Yeah, about 46 years altogether. Well, I started singing when I was 5. Yeah. So, and I grew up in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, around, of course, country music was my dad's thing, and played a lot of Merle Haggard and George Strait and John Denver and Dolly Parton and, you know, Crystal Gayle and Garth Brooks and the Judds. And then I got, you know, older and became a teenager, and my friend got me into like the Euro wave stuff, like Duran Duran and Depeche Mode and New Order. So my musical thing is just kind of like all over the place. And that's why when I create music, I really don't think too much about being very genre specific. So, and I create music, a lot of people think, oh, you know, well, that's gay music because I'm gay. I don't create gay music. And actually there was, this is horrible. There was a post the other day put up on one of the LGBTQ sites that was looking for a gay theme song. And what I realized is that I have now been a professional recording artist, like a professional recording artist that you know, that's been notable and given a fair amount of media for 11 years now. And I don't have a gay theme song because all of the songs that I create, when I created music, I just didn't want to create music that was for one specific demographic of people. I wanted to create music that will correlate with my brand, and my brand is that all are included. So we can't go making music just for one genre of people or minority or whatever. It just wasn't my thing. So we just set out and created music, and whatever came along, and that's what we did. And many times, like, I've been kind of accused of not being making enough gay music. Whatever gay music is, I don't know. I haven't found out what gay music is yet.
I was just gonna ask them, like, what's that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know. So I just kind of create music. But yeah, it's been 46 years I've been doing it. I started singing when I was 5. I started playing synthesizers when I was 15. And so ever since then, it's kind of been, you know, an ongoing theme in my life.
Well, maybe you just need a theme song, period. You don't have to have a gay theme song. You just have a theme song.
I think
each person should have their own theme song, don't you?
Well, I do. There's one song that we're doing the first ever Drake Jensen Music Cruise in 2022. And I can't tell you what cruise line it's on because nothing's been announced yet, but I will tell you it's going to be on one of the largest ocean liners, the ocean class liners in the world. But I do have a theme song. It's called Wherever Love Takes Us. And it was written by a gentleman in Texas by the name of John Rose. And I found it by chance on a songwriting site, and it had never been recorded. And I recorded it, and I actually became the first LGBTQ gay man to ever have a top 40 hit on commercial radio with that song. And then the song went on to, it caught the ears of a famous line dancing instructor in Ireland by the name of Gary O'Reilly. And Gary created a world famous line dance to the song called The Wave of Love. So this song has become sort of a legacy song for me. And it's probably one of my fan favorite songs along with Burn the Floor, but I have two songs that are really popular. One of them is Wherever Love Takes Us, and the other one is Burn the Floor. And I'm happy Burn the Floor is there too, because I wrote that one with a friend of mine. So it's kind of cool.
That's cool. Can you show us the line dance?
No. So here's the deal with the line dance. So before my husband, who I've been married to for going on 13 years now, was a competitive line dancing instructor. So when he seen the dance, he was like, oh yeah, we can learn that. So what we were going to do to surprise everybody is Michael and I were going to do the dance together and have it shot professionally, because I work with a couple of professional videographers who are wonderful, one of them being Joe Lyko at Dark Moon Productions, and I work with Nicholas Chevalier, and I work with Jonathan Edwards, who also produces my music. But I have so many talented people around me. But we were going to do the dance together and shoot it like really high action with lots of lighting, and then COVID happened. So it saved me from having to learn how to do this dance, because this dance is really complicated. So no, I don't, but we're going to do it. This is something we are going to do.
Well, shouldn't you have been practicing this whole time? Like, you had a year and a half to master this dance, Drake.
I'm putting this off. Shh, he's over there. Like, I've seriously.
Number. Yeah, we're going to have Michael next week.
I have been putting it off because I'm a freestyle dancer. Like when I go to the club, I am the stereotypical gay guy. I will take my shirt off and tuck it in my back pocket and I will dance and just freestyle dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for me, for something I have to count and be in a certain place at a certain time, just way too much ADHD for that.
Yeah. I have no rhythm. Yeah, I'm a stereotypical white girl in that department. No.
Well, I have lots of black friends. I have black friends that tell me, I have a lot of live friends from all over the world because of my music. But I have a lot of black friends, and some of my black friends say, oh, just because I'm black, I can't dance either. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that kills that stereotype now, don't it? It's kind of funny.
Stereotype everything. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So what has the response been like for you? Because I know... originally, or maybe when you were starting out, you were sort of focused on that country genre. And we know, talking with Patrick last week, that there's some interesting challenges in there. Have you faced a lot of that through your career?
Oh, yeah, like for sure. I think the one thing that I had to really get used to was rejection. And because I was always the kid that always wanted people to like me. And interestingly enough, I got rejected for a long time. When my first record came out, On the Way to Finding You, which we produced in Nashville, came out, it was reviewed in Music Row magazine. For anybody watching or listening, Music Row magazine is the ultimate authority in country music on Music Row. And I was reviewed by Robert K. Orman. And Robert K. Orman is a country music historian from the Country Music Hall of Fame, and also an editorial and critic for Music Row magazine. And we submitted for review. We were really nervous. And we got the review back, and the review back was stunning. And it got accolades, and he basically, called me unmistakably country and said, I sang with open-throated confidence, is what he said. And he put me at the top of the page of the magazine with Kelly Pickler for his independent artist pick of the week, and gave me the Discovery Award of the month. And then after that, I came out. And once I came out, I could never get featured again. And so this has been an ongoing thing. And now you're seeing CMT and CMAs. I've seen the CMAs, CMT feature a big photograph on Facebook the other day about Pride and wishing everybody happy Pride. And there was only one artist of the 10 artists that were in the photograph that was actually LGBTQS. And that artist was an artist, it was part of the Osborne Brothers. And he had just came out, but they've been signed to a label for a couple of years, and then he came out. Yeah. And I often question, if he hadn't have been signed to that label, would he be on that CMT banner? And the answer is no. So there's an awful lot of appropriation going on and a lot of pandering and a lot of, you know, it's the show is what it's like. The whole music business is a show and it's all about money and it's all about, you know, I do understand they are taking a chance, kind of going out on a limb, you know, wishing people happy pride, because I read some of the thread and I just had to stop reading it because it was so bad. And because so many people are so what they call Christian and this is against their values and blah, 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 blah. But the fact that there was 10 people on that piece, and there was only one artist that was part of a duo that just came out post being signed to a record label, that's what's really disappointing. Where are the actual LGBTQ artists that are creating music? Because there's a lot of them. And why aren't they being featured? Why, you know, I'm not saying just me either. Like I create music. I love music. I'm not in the music business. People talk to me about the music business and I'm like, well, I removed myself from the music business because it is a toxic environment. And I grew up in a toxic environment and I don't want to die in one. So for me, I think that the removal of the business part and the focus on the music has been my ultimate goal. So yeah, it's been really tough. And then there's been all kinds of stuff that I've heard. Like I've applied to festivals and stuff like that, that I love to play at. And, you know, here's one example. So I have this friend of mine who is like big champion of my music. She said, I'm just going to take, you know, your stuff and show it to the board. I said, okay. And she said, I'm not going to tell them I know you. I said, okay, well, fine, whatever. She said, because if I tell them I know you, shit, it's just going to look like I'm just trying to get you on stage.
Yeah.
I said, okay, fine. So she takes it to a board meeting and the guy turns around and he says, who wants to hear a faggot singing country music? Nobody wants to hear that. He said, absolutely not. So, you know, there's a lot of straight stages that I don't get on. And now there's a lot of gay stages that I don't get on. And the exclusion from the LGBTQ community has been really hurtful. That's been the most bothersome. Because now what they call, and I find the label, I don't like labels. That's one thing about me is I don't like to be labeled. The cisgendered, straight acting guy doesn't get hired at Pride anymore. Because if you're not, and listen, hey, I'm all about everybody being there. I'm all about everybody being included. But right now there's some hot topics and minority demographics within the LGBTQ2S. That are being favored, and I get it, I understand. But just because you're highlighting those people doesn't mean you forget the people that have pioneered the pathway. And right now, what's happening in the LGBTQ community that I see is that the pathway has been taken up, and all of the, you know, kind of when you clear land to build a house, and people come in and they have to chop trees down. I know this because I actually do this for a job. But, you know, you got to clear the land. You got to do all this stuff. And then you build the house and the house is beautiful. Now we have the house. And now that the house is there and everybody's driving by and looking at the house, the guy who cleared the land isn't there anymore. And that's probably been the most hurtful thing for me. Now, have I been acknowledged? Absolutely. I mean, I just had a major spread in Nova Scotia. I got CTV, I got the Chronicle Herald, I've gotten Toll Road, I've gotten the Advocate magazine. Yes, I've gotten a ton of media. I have, you know, and I've got a Wikipedia page. I'm notable. The only unfortunate thing is that I'm not notable to my own community.
Yeah.
So that's the most hurtful thing for me. And if you want to talk about real, I know you like to talk about real issues. So I'm always about being vulnerable and explaining to people how I feel. So how I feel this month has been devastating because of all of the First Nations things that are going on. And not only that, but you know, and I hate to be whining about stuff because like I said, this is the First Nations thing to me is number one on the table right now. And I don't really matter at the moment, as far as I'm concerned. But if you really want to talk about how I feel about the LGBTQ community, is I feel left out. Because after a certain age, and if you're cisgendered, and if you're a certain skin color, or too white, and I'm very white. Like, I'm at the pasty point, right? Like, let's face it. I mean, you don't get any whiter than me.
It's gray tan.
Yeah. Oh, I have bronzer on today. So I really am that way. But, you know, you just get kind of canceled. I got canceled by my own. And so it's really unfortunate that stuff like that happens. And I hope to see some reconciliation, you know, because we're even seeing, I'm part of the leather community also. And I don't know whether you're familiar with that, but, you know, there's a demographic of men that were post-World War II biker guys that came back from the war, and they were gay, and they formed groups, and they all wore leather and drove motorcycles. And there's a whole demographic of the community that are into leather, and not just men, but women also, and also non-binary people. There's lots of people into leather. And even with Pride this year, I'm seeing a sterilization happening where they don't want the leather people in Pride anymore because it's a family-friendly event. Well, I'm thinking, well, yeah, it can still be family-friendly, and you can still wear leather if you want to, but they just want to cancel everything, which is really, really, you know, disappointing. I want to see everybody included. I don't want to see anybody that's fought for our rights turf. You know, so I think that's been, so if anybody, you know, I think a lot of people, I know a lot of your viewership is straight from what I gather. So what I'd like people to understand, to take away from this conversation, is that just because you're part of the gay community doesn't mean that you're shitting rainbows and you're donning a unicorn spike and everything is hunky-dory and we all eat Fruit Loops for breakfast and all get along, because that's not the truth. And it's the farthest thing actually from the truth. I find even getting to collaborate with other LGBTQ artists very difficult because there's so much insecurity in the community. So it's been a real difficult ride. And first it was difficult with the straight community, and now it's exceptionally difficult with the LGBTQ community.
Which I think is interesting to note. Like, I think there's work on being kind, there's work on acceptance, and there's work on all of those pieces, no matter what community you're a part of.
Right.
Humanness gets in the way all the time.
Absolutely. You know, and now with that being said, I have a dedicated fan base that are a certain age demographic that falls between, you know, 25 and 80. Literally, I have fans that are in their late 70s that are in great shape and are inspirational, and, you know, that I've met and I know, and I have a great following. Like, I'm not going to complain. I'm not saying, and I have people that watch my videos and buy my music. I have that demographic of people that pay attention. But I would like to be included in a little more and, you know, allow my message, because I was, you know, severely abused when I was a child. And the fact that I've gotten this far is astounding, you know, after what happened to me when I was young. And that's a whole other conversation, but that I'm going to eventually have. But, yeah. You know, it's been a real tough life, period, right? The start was not good. And it affected me. And so many people ask me, why did you wait till you were 40? It's been 11 years now, 12, went on 12. Since On My Way to Finding You came out, and, you know, I got the notoriety and started to get a following. But the reason why I couldn't do it until I was 40 is because I was so mentally damaged. I was so oppressed. You know, I was oppressed by my parents, my homosexuality. And, you know, there was a whole pile of issues that came with me. And it wasn't until I met my present husband, it'll be almost 13 years, that things started to change, where I have a safe environment. I was allowed to reflect and heal and deal with my issues, that I was able to become a functioning artist. Now, I use the word functioning. I'll use it loosely, because I think all artists are insane. I think we're all a little crazy. And certainly I am. I know that for sure. But you know, I think people need to understand that there's so much to every artist, I think, that's out there. Anytime you put yourself out there, it's just some of the most vulnerable people are artists. They're the ones that are always putting themselves out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving forward, I think that, you know, the the gist of all of the conversations we've had this month are just on just being kind. If we're kind and if we are loving, it doesn't matter any of the details. I feel a little bit like, and I don't know if I can comment like this because I'm not in the community, but it feels to me sometimes like June is very what I would call performative ally based. So companies change their logos to a rainbow color for the month. We have some of those conversations, and then come July 1st, they stop. How do we continue to do that after July the 1st?
I don't know. I think there's a double-edged sword here, because for years and years and years, the LGBTQ2S community wanted to be included in everything. And then when they got included in everything, they started to complain about it. See an awful lot of complaints about, you know, corporations jumping on board and blah, 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 blah. And let's face it, this happens to all these different things that you have go on during the year. Like, I'm from Cape Breton, okay? So Cape Breton knows.
Yeah.
So in Cape Breton, there was a Ukrainian festival. In Cape Breton, there was a Polish festival. In Cape Breton, there was an Italian festival. In Cape Breton, there was a powwow. I mean, there's always times of the year where, because Cape Breton is very multicultural, I grew up in a multicultural melting pot, that there's different events that honor different people. I just think that, I like your idea of just like people being people and people being kind. And I hate labels. Yeah. I'm not a label person. You know, when somebody calls me cisgendered and they ask me, oh, are you, how do you identify? I'm like, or what's your adjectives? And I'm like, I don't have an adjective. I'm a person.
Yeah.
That's just, and I'm not saying that any, different. I'm not saying, yeah, everybody's different. And if you want to have an adjective, then fine. I accept that you want to have an adjective. I just don't want one.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, pigeonholed into anything. And I had this conversation with my trans nephew about this. And, you know, he's all about labels and, you know, putting everything in a box. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I don't want to be labeled. Don't label me as anything. I am a person, first and foremost. And I'm a kind person. I'm an advocate for human rights. And it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care who you're sleeping with. It doesn't matter. None of that matters to me. The only thing that really matters to me is if you're an asshole. Because if you're an asshole, then that matters to me. Then I don't want to be affiliated with you. But honestly, really, I really would love to take all the labels away and strip everybody naked. Because, you know, I'm not that I'm one to be naked a lot. It's not my thing. A lot of gay guys like to be naked, by the way. My husband's one of them. Sorry, Mike. Everybody likes to be naked. Let's face it, but not me. But I would like to strip all this stuff away and just see us. And yeah, sure, celebrate our diversity, not have to make it a pilgrimage, you know. And people say, well, what about straight pride? I'm like, yeah, well, we've been celebrating straight pride for a good few hundred years now. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big pride person. I don't think my music belongs at pride. I think 51 years old, I think I create incredibly high quality adult contemporary music. And if anybody goes to my YouTube channel, my current single is called Pieces of You, which is, you know, done very well. I'm a star in Australia. So interestingly enough, I had my first top 40 hit in Australia. I get radio play. The last song got radio play on 255 networks right across the nation. And I get played on all of the major country networks that will not play me in Canada. So in Australia, I'm a household name. People know who Drake Jensen is. And it's so, so disappointing that I'm not here in Canada, you know, that my own country, it's always the same. Every artist, it's kind of the same kind of, yeah, it's the same. Yeah, so, but, you know, if it was up to me, we'd just be people and people would just be kind and everybody would not really care who's sleeping with who or what pronoun or adjective or whatever you want to be. You just be who you want to be and everybody accepts everybody. I accept everybody for who they are. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
As long as you're nice.
That's our
Just don't.
That's our slogan here. Just don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Yeah. I try not to be a dick. I'm only a dick sometimes when people are a dick to me. I seen this thing on Facebook. I seen this thing on Facebook that said, my attitude towards you depends on your attitude towards me. And I'm very much like that because I did literally grow up on the other side of the tracks in Cape Breton, and it was a pretty rough neighborhood. And I learned how to, I know how to defend myself now. I didn't back then. I think I know now. And I think I can do it democratically enough. I think my husband always summed it up very well. His father said the definition of diplomacy is being able to tell somebody to go to hell in such a kind manner that they actually look forward to the trip.
Yeah.
And I think like I'm kind of getting there. So,
two dicks don't make a right.
Right. Exactly. So, for my thing, there's, we still have, people think the LGBTQI2S community is, like I said, all unicorns and rainbows and everybody's running around half naked and loving each other. That's not quite the truth. Yeah. So, I've always been one to be very vocal about that, and sometimes haven't been very popular, but I'm seeing an awful lot of division in the LGBTQI community right now at the moment between demographics of people. And I'm not going to get into the politics of what demographics of people they are, because that's already very well known. So, but there's an awful lot of divisiveness in our own community, a lot of fighting. I'm seeing double prides happening in cities because people can't get along. I'm seeing misappropriation of funds to the effect of $250,000 by one of the biggest prides in Canada, and stuff like that's being called out. I want people to understand that all these people that are running pride are just people. And we all know what people are like. People are either what? They're good or they're bad. And in the gay community, you have there's a lot of equalization in the gay community. You have a lot of good and bad. We have a lot of issues, and we have a lot of things that nobody wants to talk about that need to go on the table and that make people uncomfortable. And I've always been one of those people that likes to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it. It's like sex when you want to talk about it with your kids. You eventually have to do it. My parents didn't talk about it with me. I never got the birds and the bees talk, right? So when I was turned on by a guy when I was 12 years old, I didn't understand what was happening to me.
Yeah.
And because later on I figured out, it should be a woman. I'm like, well, shit. I'm like, there's something wrong, right?
Whoops.
Yeah. But the gay community is the same way right now. We have a ton of issues that we're not talking about. We have ageism. We have body shaming. We have divisiveness because of the color of people's skin in our own community. We have a lack of acknowledgement of the First Nations issues in our community right now. We have people celebrating Pride. The one problem that I really do have this year is the fact that last year, when Black Lives Matter, rightfully so, and the LGBTQ community took up cause together and, they protested and got stuff done. This year, you're seeing like over 1,000 kids found in unmarked graves, and Pride's not stopping, and Pride's there's no ally stuff happening. And I'm just questioning, and I have been for the past couple of weeks, and this has been very well known on my Facebook page, that I've been questioning this. Why is the gay community not taking up this cause also and embracing the First Nations people of this land and making them a part of Pride and saying, well, here's another minority that's been completely absolutely shit on for hundreds of years and is still being shit on. This minority doesn't have clean drinking water. They can't go to a tap and get a glass of water, some of them. Yeah. So I have many issues. I'm not just a musician, I'm an activist and humanitarian too. I always kind of put it on the table and call it for what it is. But I'm really kind of a little disappointed at the fact that, that hasn't been a topic during Pride. And I don't see more of that. I wish there was. If I was more involved in Pride and they'd let me in, it certainly would be. But, I get kind of shut out of Pride because of, number one, my age, Number two is that I've been tagged as a country musician, and country musicians are considered volatile because of appropriation and Christianity and all of the things that they assume that people who affiliate themselves with country music are. So there's a whole bunch of problems. So I know that that your audience is primarily straight, and it's interesting that, you know, we have this conversation because I want people to understand that, you know, it may all look great from the outside looking into it, but when you're on the inside looking out, you know, I'm kind of going like, when's this going to stop? Can somebody like stop and let me on? Because, you know, I'm just getting too old for this bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, we all have some work to do. And sometimes it takes checking in with yourself every single day is, how am I going to be the kindest version of myself today? How can I spread kindness in the world? And if we each do that every morning, I think things will start to shift. How could it not?
I think so too. I think we have a lot of work to do. I think there's a lot of wonderful LGBTQI2S people in the world that are doing amazing work. And I don't want people to think also that, you know, it's just some curmudgeon on a pride board that's ruining everything, because that sometimes is the case, by the way. But there's a lot of great gay people in the world, and LGBTQI2S people have given a lot to this world. And I am very proud to be one of those people that have done that also.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. But I just want to thank you so much for jumping in and being vulnerable and being you and sharing your heart and your story with us today. I appreciate it so very much.
Well, thank you very much. I look forward to sharing it with my fans.
Thank you for listening to the Jody Seeley Show podcast. This has been a Limelight Audio and Media production.